Maybe that's an appropriate title for this morning. I hope it is. Better be, since I'm the one who's up here preaching. Maybe it's important for what we just were thinking about, too. You know, as I listened to the Kavanaugh hearings, as probably many of you did a month ago, I wondered where we have come to as a people who claim to be a Christian nation. What has happened to holiness? Where did it go? Okay, let me tell you a story. The angel Gabriel was sent out by God to do a survey of all the earth and to see how many people were living on the earth who were still living a holy life. And when Gabriel came back into God's presence, he said, "I'm sorry, Lord, but I found that only 10% of the people on the face of the earth are now living for you." God said, "Well, that's a sorry situation, but for that 10%, I think I need to encourage them." So God sent out a text message last night to the 10% of us who are living for the Lord. Did you get the text? You didn't? I just made it up, of course. But I think it tells a story. We are not living the way we could, or maybe I dare would say we should these days. Jesus once said this, "When the Son of Man returns, will there be any faith on the earth?" So holiness, what is it? We hear an awful lot about it, or we used to. We don't hear as much. When I was a kid growing up, we used to hear a lot about holiness. Don't hear as much about it these days. Of all the great words in Scripture, in the Bible, in Christian faith, holy and holiness is one that gets somewhat misused from time to time. Ever heard anybody called a holy Joe? Is that a positive statement? No, it means somebody's pretty much sanctimonious, isn't it? How about a holy roller? Somebody has a rather exuberant style of worship that maybe some think is not honoring to the Lord. How about this one? This is the one I hate the most. Holier than thou. Man, that irritates the daylights out of me. Because that's the epitome of a self-righteous, I was going to say Christian, but I'm going to leave the word Christian out and say a self-righteous person. I think the popular mind associates holiness with an unattractive sanctimoniousness. It's a big word. It's a repulsive, Pharisaic attitude. They think that's what it means to be holy. It's been misused so much. But I want to tell you what holiness means. I'm going to give you a couple of definitions of it. Then we're going to just try and unpack that through the rest of the morning here. Holiness means first to be separate from evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, we read this, "Avoid evil of every kind." I think the King James says even the appearance of it. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Another definition, or a second definition of holiness, is set apart for God. So separate from evil, but also set apart for God. And the scripture is this that I've chosen to put up here. "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." That's a fascinating thought, isn't it? Perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I think that too many Christians see holiness as a forgotten requirement. There's no attempt to be different in lifestyle. A holy person doesn't isolate himself from the world. He doesn't involve himself in the world's sins. But I think it's to the contrary. I think that we need to be, as holy people, getting invested in our world. Okay, that didn't ring any bells with anybody. All right. So I'll keep going down that line a little bit longer and see what happens. I have now read article after article after article by John Wesley and by people who are scholars of Wesley on his concept, his statement, his definition of social holiness. Many of us have heard an awful lot about social justice, especially if you're 40 or younger. It seems to be the watchword in the Christian community, social justice. I want to tell you something. Social holiness encompasses that and brings it in a much stronger way. I want to just read one statement from Wesley. The gospel of Christ knows of no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. Faith working by love is the length and breadth and depth and height of Christian perfection. I like that. I might go almost strong enough to say I almost love that. Social holiness. It means taking this, putting it in here and up in here and bringing it out into the world. Social holiness. So what's God like? What is God like? I want to give you this. I want to give you some demonstrations of God and of his holiness. We need to have a proper understanding of God. I'm not about to tell you that I have all the answers. Far from it. This puny brain only knows a little itty bit about who what God is like. But I want to give you some things that we can learn from. What is God like? Well, our knowledge of God comes from... Aha! The revelation of God in his word. Thank you. The Bible. Yeah, that's the first place it comes from. It also, I think, comes from the life of Jesus Christ. Well, that's out of scripture, but yes, it's out of the life, the way that Jesus lived and the way he encourages us to live. But also through the ongoing teaching daily by the Holy Spirit in our world, in our lives, as we gather together as Christians, brothers and sisters in faith in Christ. That's where it comes from. That's how we learn about what God is really like. It's in his nature to be holy. It's in the way he encourages us to live. In fact, there's only one attribute of God that is mentioned three times. But let me take a step back from that for a minute. You've heard it. You know it. I'm not telling you anything new at all. In the Old Testament especially, if something was said twice, that meant, listen up, dummy. Like, verily, verily, I say unto you. It means, listen, this is important. Often we read, I've had some people when I've been teaching a Bible study or things like that through the decades, people have said to me, I just read that story like a few chapters before, or that's reported, it's in this minor prophet. Why is it in this minor prophet? Maybe it's important for you to hear it. Maybe that's why it's repeated. How many of you have ever raised a child? Did you ever say the same thing to them twice? Because they didn't get it the first time? Or did every one of your kids ever get everything right the first time? Verily, verily, I say. Well, one of the things that we read is that he is distinctive. And there's something really important about that. And the thing we're trying to get to this morning is that he is holy. The only thing that I can find in Scripture that is repeated three times is what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want to just give you a few scriptures to think about here a little bit as we think about this, how distinctive the Lord is. You see, let me take a step back from that scripture I've got up there to maybe put it in a little better context. When Moses was out in the desert and there was a bush that was burning but wasn't being consumed, what did Moses do? Took his shoes off because he said, the place I am standing is holy ground. All of us become like one who is unclean. You see, we come into God's presence and we don't feel clean anymore. Or at least you shouldn't. Think of the holiest person you know. When I wrote that statement down, I thought of someone that I think only my wife would know in here. I don't think anybody else would know her. Agavani Hashmatian. My mother knew her. I think Mrs. Hashmatian was probably the holiest, purest person I've ever met in my life. She was an Armenian. She left Armenia as a little tiny child. Her parents put her and her brother on a boat to get them out of Armenia. We hear about the Holocaust in Germany, but there was a Holocaust in Armenia, which we seem to have totally forgotten. The Turks came in and wiped out 1.5 million Armenians simply because they weren't Turks. 1.5 million people over 2 years' time. She left that. Maybe as a backdrop to that and who she became, just sitting in her home, I would leave there every time I left her home, and I was like, I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling something in my chest because I was in the presence of God in her presence. And yet the Bible says, or let me just, I don't think I've got it in the piece here. Well, maybe I'll just go to this one anyhow. Tozer, he says, we know nothing like the divine holiness. It stands apart, unique, unapproachable, incomprehensible, and unattainable. The natural man is blind to it. He may fear God's power and admire his wisdom, but his holiness he cannot even imagine. When I'm in the presence of somebody like that, and I realize that Scripture says, her holiness is like filthy rags. You've heard it. Pastor Josh said it to us numerous times. I've said it to you in the past. Probably every pastor you've ever heard preach has said something along this line. That in the Old Testament, the people were so afraid of mispronouncing God's name and therefore bringing condemnation down on themselves that they often wouldn't even say the name out loud. When the scribes were writing passages from the Old Testament, and they knew it contained the name of God or the Lord or something like that, they would go through a period of ceremonial cleansing and washing before they would even write it down. 3 weeks ago, the shooting down at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, something I noticed, it's just one of those things like, you've got to be kidding me. They showed a photograph as the camera panned by inside one of the classrooms where some of the people were. And there was a whiteboard up there. This was, 3 weeks ago. On that whiteboard, they had written YHWH, Yahweh. They left, once again, the vowels out, as they always would, for they were afraid of putting the whole name of God, that they might do it wrong. That was as recent as just watching it this past few weeks. God is so holy, they wanted to be careful what they wrote and how they said it. Okay, I am not the pastor, and you can throw me out, so I don't care. I was going to stick my tongue out, but I'm not going to be that rude. But I will be this rude. Please do not make this, I'm going to say this, and I've never done it in my life before, I'm going to say it right now, and I'm going to ask the Lord first, forgive me, because I believe I need forgiveness for this, because I believe this is taking God's name in vain, because his name is holy. Will you please stop saying, oh my God? Sorry, I just started to sweat and my pulse went up. That is taking his name in vain. He is holy! That's the loudest I've ever been in this place. I'm sorry. But I believe we need to understand who God is so we can bring his real presence into the world. Because people think we may be holy Joes or holy rollers or holier than thou. No, we're not. We're just people who are loved and blessed by God, and we need to let them know that he makes a difference in our lives. I've got off track, but who cares? You might, but I don't. Since he was God in the flesh, Jesus was the embodiment of holiness. And there's so many references to it in Scripture. Listen to a few of these, would you? If I can get this to work, come on. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, the Holy One. And I really like this one. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried at the top of his voice, ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons knew who Jesus was, the Holy One of God. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. He is distinctive. He's the creator, and we are the creation. Don't get those facts confused. Years ago, President John Quincy Adams stood before Congress, and he had on the table in front of him two bushel baskets. One was from South Carolina, and the other was from New York State. And he said to the assembled men, and well, men only then, who were there, he said, one of these baskets is 89 cubic inches bigger than the other. He then put up two weights, one from Maine and one from Massachusetts. Both had stamped on them 1 pound. One was an ounce lighter than the other. He said, we need a standard in this country which everything comes up to. And if you go into the Bureau of Weights and Measures, you will find a standard inch, foot, yard, pound, quart, ounce, you name it, whatever the measurement is, it's there. And everything's got to come to that standard. Do you see where I'm going with this one? What's our standard? Jesus Christ is our standard. He is it for all that we do. God is the standard, and his scales don't change. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he became the physical representative of God the Father. We see God the Father's holiness manifest in the Son. That's why Jesus Christ would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be something if you could go to work tomorrow, go to school tomorrow, and say to somebody standing in front of you, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Wow. I'm still working on that one. I'm not there yet. Look at this scripture. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It's God's command for us. But I fear that too many times we've chosen the wrong role models. Julie showed me a picture on Facebook 3 or 4 days ago of a row of about a dozen 15-year-old girls. They were at a dance. One of the little girls was the daughter of a friend of ours. And I thought, oh, I wonder what role models they're following. They all looked like they were... I know they didn't... I'm convinced they didn't all come saying, oh, what are you wearing? I'm going to wear something identical to yours. But I had seen a few days before on something on the news of Selena Gomez, and I decided every one of those 15-year-old girls was trying to be Selena Gomez. He's setting an example for us to follow. We've chosen the wrong role models. Okay, here's some fun for you, okay? I've been pretty heavy. Give you something fun. Elvis Presley died, some of you know. I know some of you probably know to the hour how many died, how long he's been dead. But 41 years ago. At the time of Elvis's death, they tell me that there were 180 professional Elvis impersonators. In the year 2000... they tell me that there were 85,000 registered professional Elvis impersonators. That means that on November 11th of 2018, that one in five people on the face of the earth is an Elvis impersonator. So look up and down your row and decide who it is in your row. Okay? I figure in that row back there, it's my mother. Over there, it's Alan for sure. Who are we following? We choose the wrong role models. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Elvis, but, you know. Who are you following? Who are you trying to imitate? You know, what's important in your life? God has called every Christian to live a holy life. The message of Scripture, I think, leaps off the pages again and again with clarity that we are to pursue holiness. The last area I want to look at this morning, I think it turns our attention more inward because God's holiness does that, and it has to do that. It's got to be internal. God's demand for our holiness. You do know, of course, that beliefs have consequences, right? What you believe makes a difference in your life. If it doesn't, then I think there's something wrong. We've got to have something to believe in, and it changes our actions and what we do. And I believe that God has expectations for you and me. I believe that personal holiness is something that God has commanded. We've been reading about it here in Scripture. We've been putting stuff up. We read a bit ago from 1 Peter chapter 1, where the Lord says, "Be holy because I am holy." And we're to be imitators of God, and we're to take that seriously and do what he teaches. But here's a longer passage of Scripture. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live. What kind of a life? A holy life. That's what the Lord has called us to do. So if that's the first reason, then the second reason is this, that I believe that personal holiness creates an awareness of sin. Great little statement from C.S. Lewis. He said, "No one knows how bad he is until he's tried to be good." It was Peter who experienced that as well. For when he made the statement about who Jesus was, he then said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He recognized that in the presence of holiness, he was not holy. When you compare yourself to the muddy barnyard of the world, we look pretty good. Until such a time as you try to compare yourself to Jesus Christ, and we don't look so hot. But he helps us with that. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find them are but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. Our sins, like the wind, sweep us away. Compared to the purity and holiness of the Lord, we don't look so good. When we come into the presence of God, we should be humbled, convicted of our own sin and our own unworthiness. And this thought, too, a holy life pleases God. You could have written that. Any one of us, any of the kids down the hall could have written that. A holy life pleases God and serves as an incentive to others. Yes, it is. Our world needs us. The world in which we live in needs us to make a difference. Yeah. Through Rise Again Outreach, yes, but also where you live, where you work, your neighbors need you. If you ever studied the Old Testament prophets, you know that they grieved over the sins of the world. They weren't just sorry for their own sins, but they were crushed by the sins of others. When I wrote that, I thought of Moses. When Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on him, the scripture tells us that his face glowed. He had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Wasn't that right? And he was transformed by being in God's presence. What happened as soon as he got down off the mountain that first time? He saw the people worshiping a golden calf, having an orgy. Now, he didn't do what some of us might do and go, "No, man, they're a bunch of jerks. Let them go their own way. I've been with God. I'm going to stay with God. Let them do their own thing." That wasn't Moses. Moses threw down the tablets. He said, this is worthless in these idiots' presence. And then he demanded that the orgy stop. He had the calf melted down into a liquid. He had that liquid gold poured into the drinking water, and he made them all drink it. He said, we're going to do things differently around here because God is on the throne. And maybe sometimes some of us need to say, sin is sin, and we're going to let people know that God is God. Holiness grieves over sin. It's appalled by sin, not attracted to it. It doesn't become accustomed to it. I put this piece up here by Eugene Peterson. It was just exactly a month ago he passed away. Some of you know the name, of course. He was the author of the paraphrase of Scripture known as The Message. Probably wrote 8 or 10 books, I would think, most of which I've read and most of which I still have. I got rid of an awful lot of books a few years ago, but still have one that impacts so many pastors, Working the Angles, and the one that has impacted Julie and I so much is Along Obedience in the Same Direction. And out of that book, he said this, in our kind of culture, there is a great market for religious experience. I'm going to stop and put a bracket in there. I was with somebody yesterday, not a member of this church, who made the comment, I am sick and tired of going to a warehouse type of church where they dim the lights and scream the music. And it's all about an experience instead of an experience with God. Our kind of culture, in our kind of culture, there is a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue and little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. Not bad for a Presbyterian. Tozer. We have learned to live with unholiness and have come to look upon it as the natural and expected thing. We are not disappointed that we do not find all truth in our teachers or faithfulness in our politicians or complete honesty in our merchants or full trustworthiness in our friends. Ouch. Doesn't surprise us much anymore. Jesus Christ sets the standard. Jesus demonstrated complete holiness. A holy life is a rebuke to a soiled society. So I ask you, what's the purpose of the church if the members are like the rest of the world? Ouch. For those of you who haven't been around when I preached for years, don't know me that well, I have always used the phrase, watch out, I'm going to stand on your toes. I should have said that as soon as I stood up this morning. Because you better have your combat boots on today because, man, I'm just going to stand all over your toes. You, like living stones, are being built. You are being built into a spiritual house to be a Casper milk toast bunch of people who don't stand up for anything anymore. A holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to who? God. Through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I began by saying that sometimes people incorrectly identify holiness with a legalistic, self-righteous behavior, an attitude that is just repulsive to them. That there is no attempt to be different from the world. But I want to say this, a holy person doesn't isolate himself from the world and he doesn't involve himself in the world's sin, but he does make goodness attractive. And that's what I'm trying to get to you this morning. This is, if there's nothing else you remember, and you remember some of the stupid things I said maybe, but hopefully you'll remember this, that we need to make holiness attractive. So how are you going to do that? How are you, with the people you know, going to do that? I can't give you an answer for it. You've got to figure that one out all on your own. If you're a Christian, then the world is watching you. God remolds our lives. He changes us, and he does it from within, from the inside out. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The trouble is, so much of the world is trying to mold us from the outside by giving us things to think about, things to do that can form us in ways that maybe aren't Christ-like. As I was trying to clean up my thoughts here last night, I was sitting away from the TV. Julie had Jeopardy on. And there was I wasn't looking at it. I couldn't see the TV. But it was apparently a series of things on, if you watched it last night, you know this. And if I got it wrong, don't correct me. Just say I didn't watch it, okay? But it was something like TV dogs. And you had to name the name of all of these stupid, of these shows, I'll leave stupid out, all of these shows that had a dog on it. All I know is I heard this in the background, and of all of the categories down, I didn't know any of the dogs because I hadn't watched any of the shows. I had not watched one episode of any of the shows that they were bringing these questions out of. Does that say something about me? Yeah, maybe say I'm old. I know. Forget that. But it also maybe says to you, maybe there are some things that are they're entertaining, but they're not edifying. What are you watching? What sort of things on the internet are you looking at? What's encouraging your spirit or just entertaining your salacious mind? What is holiness? I know I'm standing on your toes hard, but I ain't your pastor anymore. Yes, I am. And as long as I am here, I will because I care about you deeply. Lord willing, I'll be here with a little tiny urn on this altar someday when my days are done. I will have turned the urn, by the way, okay? A holy person doesn't isolate himself from the world and doesn't involve himself in the world's sin, but he does make goodness attractive. I think this is the last thing I'm going to say to you right here. Personally, holiness prepares us for Christ's return. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. God's coming again. You know that? He is coming again. Since everything is going to be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought we to be? I'm going to leave you with a thought from Mother Teresa. Our progress in holiness depends on God and ourselves, on God's grace and on our will to be holy. I've done something ugly for decades now, and I'm going to do the same thing again this morning. And here's my, if you've never heard me do it, here we go. Hang on, put your seatbelt on. If you are willing, and I really mean if you are willing to be changed by God and to live the most holy life the Lord reveals to you this week, and he may reveal to somebody differently than he reveals to you, depending if you're 16 or 67 or whatever, whether you've been a Christian for a year or how many years have you been a Christian, Mother? Millennia. If you are willing to let the Lord allow himself to direct your life to become more holy this week than you have been in the past week, you're going to be able to be dismissed. If you are not willing, you're going to stay here till you are willing. Let me pray for those of you who are staying. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. Lord, I don't care if it's an old hymn or a new one. It's still the same scripture. You are still the same God, the one who requires us to live today as though tomorrow may not happen, for you may come again. Lord, I pray right now that we would be a holy people, a royal priesthood, that we would be the called out ones who are calling others to live and to experience your joy. Father, I ask your forgiveness where I've blown it this morning, and ask that you would help all of us to understand that maybe we've all blown it a little bit too, and you would still say, I love you. Thanks for trying. Lord, now as we go from here, those who are willing to be changed by you and to live a holy life, and Lord, for those who may have to sit here till next Sunday, I ask your blessing on us each in your holy name. Amen. Lord be with you.